Isaiah chapter 55. And so let's begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down," we had a good rain overnight here in our area. It's the seasons changing. Thank the Lord. It's hot now. It's going to be hot tomorrow. But September 1st, I always believe the week of September 1st, you feel some cooler days. And there is a big cold front coming in on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. And thank the Lord for that. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And I do believe that the heavens and the earth were created by the Word of God, and I believe that things that happen in our life happen at the Word of God and wouldn't happen if God doesn't allow it. And God says, when I bring something into your life, just like rain and snow, it accomplishes that whereto I've sent it. It waters the ground. And at my word, things happen in your life, and they're there for a reason and for a purpose. And he said, basically this, in a way, don't try to figure it all out, because your ways are not my ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But I think we can give it a little effort to see beyond what we see in our human reasoning. So tonight I want to kind of just use an illustration that God gave me a couple days ago and use that to hopefully challenge us in this area. Now I want to preach on this thought, rise above. I want to challenge us to rise above. Let's pray together. Lord, would you help us tonight as we study this truth? And Lord, we're so grateful that the folks in our church are getting better. And we do pray for those that are still struggling, whether it be with the virus, the coronavirus, or whether it be with a cold and allergy. It's just not fun to be miserable. So Lord, I pray that you give strength and health to our people this week. And help us, Lord, to see that there are some areas where we need to rise above during a time of storm. So help us to see this truth, we pray, before we're done tonight. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Friday, I was flying home from Knoxville, Tennessee. And there's a lot of traveling. And I'm only 45, be 46 in November. Boy, that's a lot of hours on the road from here to Knoxville, Tennessee. So I was glad to get on a plane and fly home. Other than having to wear a mask, I can't breathe with a mask on. And so I'll pull it below my nose just so I can breathe a little bit. And I'm not kidding. I was sitting in the waiting area and the lady came on the radio and said, "American flight such and such is leaving for Dallas, and you must have a face mask, and it must be placed over your face, over your mouth, and over your nose, or you cannot fly our plane." And she's staring right at me the entire time. So I just gently took it, put it right back up over my nose. And so I love to fly. I enjoy flying. I don't enjoy flying when they don't give you drinks and snacks and when they suffocate you with a mask the entire time. Well, I flew home on Friday. Now, I was concerned. I was supposed to fly home on Saturday afternoon. I came in a day early. I switched my flight. There was no penalties for that. So I went ahead and switched my flight and flew on home on Friday. But being so early, I was concerned because the remnants of Hurricane Laura that hit southeast Texas and hit Louisiana earlier in the week, the remnants of that hurricane were still sitting over eastern Arkansas and western Tennessee. And it was a large complex of storms. So it was sitting, basically that storm was sitting between me and home. So I wondered, I thought, well, I'm going to go to the airport and they're going to wind up canceling my flight because they're not going to fly through that storm. Or I wondered maybe if what they would do rather than canceling the flight is maybe just change the flight path just a little bit. And that's kind of what they did. What I noticed, though, was while the flight path did change some, instead of going straight across Tennessee and across Arkansas, they took us south across Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, and we were able to get kind of the southern tip of that hurricane rather than right in the center of it. But I noticed that instead of going all the way around the hurricane, what the pilot did was he lifted us up above the storm. So below us were dark clouds and wind and rain and stormy weather, but above us and where we were in the sky was nothing but beautiful blue skies and sunshine. And I thought about how we see things versus how God sees things in our life. What we see is we're beneath the storm. We see the wind and we see the rain and we see the storms in our life. We see the clouds. But God sees it all much differently than you and I do. We see the problem. God sees the purpose. We see the darkness, but God sees the direction that He's leading us in. We see the rain, but God sees the results. And He said that in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He said, "I don't see things like you do. I don't work the same way you do in your human body and your human mind." He says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God says, "I have a purpose when I speak in your life, when I bring things into your life, I have a purpose." Many of you guys know from working on the gym, I've shared this story several times with folks, but I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid of heights. I used to not be. I could go to Six Flags and ride the tallest rides, no big deal, when I was in junior high and high school, but somewhere along the way, I became terrified of heights. I think two things happened in my life that caused that. One was Brother Richard and I, actually, when we were teen boys in high school, we used to roof houses together. And the old man that had us working for him, one summer we were in Arlington, and they had a hailstorm, and we were on some of the steepest pitch roofs, and those roofs you had to stand on boards so that you didn't slide off the roof. And I don't know if that's what brought this into my life. I'm not sure. Another thing, back when I was in college at A&M, we had to rappel off a building, and the day we went, I didn't even know what we were doing, and they told us, they put us up on a 2 or 3 story building and said, "You're going to rappel down," and you had to get perpendicular to the wall, and it scared me to death. I don't mind saying it. It scared me to death. Some of the guys took about 2 jumps and they were down. It took me about 100 steps across that wall to get down. Something happened, but for some reason, and I am scared to death of heights. But here's the thing. While I'm afraid of heights, I love to fly. You put me on a ladder in the gym, 15 feet in the air, and I'm trembling. I'm terrified. But you put me on a plane at 30,000 feet, and I'm having a good old time. Several weeks ago now, we rented a scissor lift. Probably going to do that again this week to finish up the metal upstairs. But we rented a scissor lift, or we used a scissor lift someone had here. And I had to get on that scissor lift and go 25 feet in the air to the top of the gym. Brother Brent was driving the scissor lift, our professional driver. And as that scissor lift is lifting up, it starts rocking. And I'm grabbing the sides. Brother Braley is on top of the third floor, hanging off the side, just dying laughing at me because I was scared to death that I was somehow, that scissor lift was going to tip over. I'll be up on it again this week. I'll do whatever it takes. But man, I'm nervous the entire time on a scissor lift 25 feet in the air. A plane 30,000 feet in the air hits turbulence and the plane drops 100 feet and I'm sitting in my seat thinking, oh man, that was cool. Now, how does that work? 25 feet in the air, I'm scared to death. 30,000 feet in the air, I'm perfectly fine. Well, I think just like that. Just like 30,000 feet in the air, I'm fine. Having a good time while the plane is bouncing around and it sounds like an engine's cutting out and I'm thinking, well, I guess we'll make it. 15 or 25 feet in the air, I'm scared to death and I'm shaking. Just like those two differences, we talk about eternity and, oh, I can't wait and it's going to be great and we're going to get to heaven and we talk about how great heaven is going to be, and yet many of us as Christians, we're okay with all the big stuff, but we can't even trust God to get us through Monday. We believe in the big stuff like salvation and heaven, but we struggle with the smallest of things. Look at Luke chapter number 12 with me. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, a familiar passage to you. We're going to read several verses here, but in Luke chapter 12, the Lord says this. In verse 22, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Now, God's not saying don't plan, don't organize, don't think about eating or actually putting your clothes on. He's saying, but don't, why are you so worried about the smallest things in life? The God that's going to take us to heaven when we die, can he get us through next Tuesday? He says, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that which thing is least, why take your thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, which is August in Texas, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have to rise above in our way of thinking. We as Christians are guilty of seeing everything at eye level and trying to figure it all out at eye level rather than seeing life as God sees it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporal. They're limited to this life. But the things which are not seen are eternal. We had a choice. We could cancel the flight. We had a choice. We could drive right through the storm and perhaps cause a lot of damage to the plane and to our own life. But instead, what our pilot did, he didn't necessarily try to get around the storm. He just rose up above the storm. And I want to challenge us as Christians. Let's just rise above the storm that is in our life rather than sitting in our chair under the clouds, waiting for the rain, waiting for the thunder, waiting for the lightning, waiting for the damage to be done and just dealing with it from a human perspective, why don't we just, hey, listen, why don't we just rise above? Now, let me give you some areas tonight where just like that pilot and that plane, we need to rise above the storms in our life. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Now, I'll give you a moment to turn there. Matthew chapter number 16. Let's rise above. Whatever happens in your life this week, let's rise above. Number one is this, and I'm going to illustrate it out of Matthew chapter number 16. We need to rise above our line of sight. We need to rise above our line of sight. The Lord here, Matthew chapter number 16, look at verse number 5. And he's going to have this conversation with his disciples, and they just can't see beyond like right what's right in front of their face. Matthew 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I thought that illustrated well the idea of rising above our line of sight. The Lord says something to them. They immediately think this has to do with bread. This has to do with temporary things. This has to do with right now. And God was trying to teach them a lesson far beyond just a little piece of bread. He says, do you all not remember how I provided bread? Do you not remember all those miracles? Do you really think this is just about getting through the next lunchtime? He said, I'm trying to teach you to beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So I want to use that to say tonight that we need to rise above our line of sight. We see life exactly as we want to see it, and we stay wound up, and we stay worried, and I don't know what's going to happen next, and all I can see is the checkbook register. All I can see is the bank account balance. All I can see is the next doctor's visit. All I can see is the next problem coming down the road. All I can see is what's right in front of my face. And what we need to do is rise above and learn to rise above our own line of sight and just try to see our life as God is currently seeing it. Things are going to be okay. God is still in control. Everything is done for a purpose. Everything's going to work out in the end. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Friend, I know we use that verse a lot. That's my life's verse. But we either believe it or we don't. What are we going to do? Are we going to live every day of our life just waiting for the next problem to come? Are we going to wake up and just beg, oh, I hope today's a better day? Or are we going to wake up like we did this morning, and though we wake up to storm clouds in our life and thunder and lightning and wind and rain in our life, hey, let's trust God and let's rise above that storm. Let's rise above our line of sight. Let's rise above just the weak way that we see it in our mind. Let's say, God, would you help me to see my life right now as you're seeing it? Would you help me to see the direction that you are leading me in? Let me say, secondly, is this. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 14. You're in Matthew 16. Shouldn't be hard to find Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14, not only would I challenge us tonight, we need to rise above our line of sight, but secondly, we need to rise above our human fears. We need to rise above our human fears. There's so much fear mongering in our world today, and it's fueled by the media, and it's fueled by social media. I was telling my wife earlier today, certainly the coronavirus is a real deal, and we've experienced it in our family now. But friend, listen, I read a factual statement the other day that said that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, were putting out percentages of the death rate, but yet if you clicked on the link, it took you to their website. They would just put a headline on Twitter, and it would say, here's what the death rate is. Because that's all we are today. We don't want to read. We don't want to study. We want to get a headline and run with it and share it, and everyone's living in fear. I believe we have Christians today that if the government said walk on your hands, they would walk into church on their hands. But yet we'll question everything God says. And I told my wife, I said, you know what they said? You know what this article said? It said you click on the link that gives you that high percentage rate, that death rate. And when you get to the CDC website, it said this death rate involves coronavirus, those that died from pneumonia, those that died from the flu, had an entire list. Now, most of us have known that all along. But that's the fear-mongering that we're dealing with in society today. And we have a bunch of Christians that are scared to death. And we need to rise up. Oh, well, if I tithe, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to make it. Friend, I don't know how I'd make it if I didn't tithe. Amen. Well, if I go to church, you know, I might get sick. You're going to get sick at Walmart. We've got to rise above our fear. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, help me to rise above my line of sight, because where I'm seeing it right now, it ain't looking too good. But God, help me to see what you're trying to do in my life. And then, Lord, help me to see things as you see them. And then help me, Lord, to rise above my human fears and live by faith, trusting you. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, for we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our minds are going crazy because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're living in an angry world today, and a bitter world today, and a fighting world today. And God says, I don't want my people living that way. I don't want my people living so fearful that you're angry at everyone and upset at everyone. You've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power. Let's trust God and of a sound mind. And so Matthew chapter 14 illustrates this truth, that we need to rise above our human fears. The Bible says in Matthew 14 and verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now I want to be careful about criticizing Peter, because none of us have walked on water. But I do want to take note of the fact he was doing just fine until he saw the wind boisterous. In other words, he was doing just fine until he began to see things from his line of sight again. And then all of a sudden the sky has fallen. And then all of a sudden the same God that allowed him to take a couple of steps on the water, that same God can't save him from a crazy wind. He should have never been on the water in the first place. So God called him out on that water. You think God couldn't have taken care of him? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And you see Peter there, he was fine. He started seeing life as God sees it. And he said, hey, he's God. He can do anything in my life. Lord, if that's you, call me out there on the water. He said, come on, Peter. Peter doesn't hesitate. He jumps out, starts walking on the water. But then we have those days where we start seeing the wind and rain around us. And we feel like we're sinking, and we begin to live in fear, and we're back to seeing things just from our line of sight. It ain't looking good, preacher. Our prayer needs to be, God, help me to rise above my line of sight and see what you're doing in my life. And Lord, help me to rise above my human fears, my human frailty that causes me basically to go back to seeing things from my line of sight. Number three is this. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We've been working through Psalm 119 on Wednesday nights. Of course, I was gone Wednesday, and Brother Trent, I listened to the service after we got out of our church service there and preached a great message on rejoicing and reasons to rejoice. But Psalm 119, let me say this, number three. During a storm, not only do we need to rise above our line of sight, rise above our human fears, but let me encourage you to do this. We need to rise above our current level of prayer and Bible study. We need to rise above our current level of prayer and Bible study. Hey, if you're going through a trial, if you're reading one chapter a day, read two chapters a day. If you're praying 15 minutes a day, hey, pray 30 minutes a day. We need more Bible and more prayer time to carry us through the storms, the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 28. Look at it there, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Someone said to me the other day, preacher, you have the weight of the world upon your shoulders right now. Hey, we all do, friend. We all have burdens. We all have battles. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. We need more Bible and prayer, not less. Not more social media, more Bible and prayer. Not more people around us, more Bible and prayer. Not more phone calls talking to everyone in the world about how bad our life is. Hey, we need more Bible and prayer. Thank God for friends. Thank God for counselors. Thank God for encouragers. But I believe what the average Christian needs today is to just get our face back in the book and spend time with God. I found something, didn't even know it was there. Came across it today, in fact. So I think the Lord wanted me to say it tonight. I came across something on Facebook. And I want to challenge you to do this, not right now. If you do it right now, I pray your hair falls out. And if your hair has already fallen out, I pray you grow a mustache on your nose if you do this right now. Don't do it right now. But when we get done with church tonight, I want you to go look at your Facebook page. And I want you to look at the settings. I think it says settings and privacy or something like that. If you have trouble finding it, let me know. I'll help you. I came across it, and did you realize there is now a little, I don't even know what you call it, a little icon on your Facebook, and it says this, time spent on Facebook. Click on it. It'll tell you the average amount of time you spent every day in the last 7 days on Facebook. And therein lies the problem. Go look at it. And a few seconds here and a few minutes there, and we don't realize how much time we're spending reading discouraging thoughts or sharing fake news or meddling in someone else's business. I'm against those things, but I'm not against a little bit of good stuff on social media. It's a powerful tool. It's a horrible toy. But what I'm saying is, we think that the way we make it through a storm is by telling everybody on social media how bad our day was, and 30 people say, aww. Why do you think so many people, and I'm sorry, but it's a lot of young ladies, why do you think they have to take a selfie every other hour of the day? I've got to get attention from someone. Why do you think we put these innuendos? Oh, rain is like that thing that happens in my life, but I've learned a long time ago that you just work through the rain and you want to say, girl, you ain't seen nothing yet in life. Why do we do that? Because we want someone to acknowledge the troubles in our life. And friend, listen, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You look at a church member across the pew, you look sometimes at the preacher's family, and you say, boy, they don't have trouble like I do. Oh, yes, we do. We just don't share it with 1,000 people. We get on our face before God, and we get in the Bible, and maybe we talk to a couple of good friends, and I'm saying to you tonight that when storms come up in our life, we need to rise above. We need to rise above our line of sight. We need to rise above our human fears. We need to rise above our current level of prayer and Bible study. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I thank my God for every storm that has wrecked me on the rock, Jesus Christ. And boy, I tell you, storms in our life ought to just draw us closer to God, not further away from Him. Hey, when the storm clouds are building in our life, what do we do? Do we live beneath the storm? Do we live beneath the problem? Do we see the sky is always falling? Do we live in fear? Do we hide out and backslide? Or like that pilot the other day, do we just rise above the storm and move forward with our life? Let me encourage you tonight to rise above. And number one, let's rise above our line of sight and try to see things as God sees it the best we can. Let's rise above our human fears and learn to live by faith and trust the Lord with our life. Let's rise above our regular level of prayer and Bible study. And the last one tonight is this. Let's rise above our human reasoning. Let's rise above our human reasoning. Friend, we don't have to figure it all out. Let's just let go and let God. Let me remind us all tonight, God does not owe us an explanation. He is our Creator. He is our God. He gives us life and breath and all things. And the God of heaven, Jehovah God, the self-existent one, does not owe little me an explanation for what comes into my life. We've got to rise above our human reasoning. Well, I just don't see how that could be the will of God. Well, I just don't see how that could be the work of God. Well, I just don't see how God has a reason for that or a purpose for that. I just can't see that. And I understand that. That is my thinking and that is your thinking. And I'm saying tonight, when the trials come, let's rise above our line of sight. I see it this way. Let's rise above that. Let's rise above our human fears. Let's rise above our regular level of prayer and Bible study and time with God. And let's rise above our human reasoning. The Bible says in Psalm 138 and verse number 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Had a preacher friend that had a theme at his church last year or the year before, and it was just simply this: I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. I think we sang that tonight. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Let's rise above our line of sight. Let's see it as God sees it. Let's try. Let's rise above our human fears and learn to live by faith. Let's rise above our regular level of prayer and Bible study. Let's rise above our human reasoning. And don't try to figure out God. Let's just let go and trust Him. Why do we need to rise above tonight? I tell you why. Because God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Had a preacher friend one time in Bible college that preached, and he's still in the ministry today. Thank the Lord for that. And I even stole that title one time and preached the same title, but God says that your ways are not mine. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. And he preached a message, and I preached a message just like it years ago, and it had this title, My Way or the Highway. My way is I've got to be able to figure it all out, and it's got to work according to my plan, and it's got to, according to my reasoning, it has to make sense, and if I don't figure this out, I'm going to live in fear, and if I can't fix this, instead what we need to do tonight, we just need to rise above. We just need to rise above the storm, and we need to say, you know what, I'm not going to I don't want to just live life based on what I want. I want to live my life based on the highway. I want to trust the one whose ways and thoughts are way higher than mine. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I may not know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going to go through this week. I don't know what my family will go through this week. But I know this, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Whatever trials we have in life, God's trying to get us to learn to be patient and wait on Him and stay faithful and don't be a quitter. And as we do those things, we gain the experience of knowing that God's in control and God's grace will see us through. And then we become a mature Christian that lives with hope, knowing that we have a God in heaven that loves us. One of the ways we hang on, though, is that we learn to rise above the circumstance. We learn to rise above the storm. We learn to quit seeing things for just exactly the way they seem on paper. And we learn to rise above our line of sight and say, God, help me to see this like you see it. We learn to rise above our fears. When I got on that scissor lift, I wanted to get it done. So I rise above my fears to just do what needs to be done around here. And friend, I want God's will for my life. So I'm going to have to rise above some personal fears that I have. I need to rise above my regular level of time with God during a time of storm. And I need to rise above my human reasoning that says if I can't figure it all out, then it must not be God's will. Or if I can't figure it all out, then things are broken, things are wrong. No. God said, don't even try. And I said that saying we should think like rise above and see it as God says. But God says, my ways are higher. My thoughts are higher than yours. And so you got to somehow just let go, let God have control, and watch and see what God does. And God said, just like the rain and the snow and hits the ground and the grass grows and turns green and it waters the land, God says in that same way, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it. And at the word of the Lord, things happen in our life. Let's let God accomplish whatever it is He's trying to accomplish. Let's just rise above.